Welcome back to the Passion Pit, where we spotlight the leaders in indie theater, on stage and on film. I'm Jay Michaels. Greetings, all you movers and shakers and indie art makers. I'm the shortest guy in the room today. I'm speaking to two towering talents, both talent and, height. Mario Claudio, a member of Reverend Mary's musical congregation for nearly 10 years. Mario has been part of Mary's musical presentations from the original M-Band through all incarnations of Granny's Bloomers and beyond. After Mario, we'll be speaking to the latest member of her all-man band, jazz, blues, and calypso singer, George Dixon. But first...
Do you like video games? Do you like to read? Alright, guys, I know that, those two things usually don't go so well together, but my new book, The Minds Behind the Games, Interviews with Cult and Classic Video Game Developers, is kind of like an ESPN 30 for 30 collection of interviews with some of the coolest creators in video game history. We're talking iconic games, Deus Ex, Mortal Kombat, Wasteland, NBA Jam, not so iconic, E.T., Night Trap, indie games, Pro Wrestling X, Towerfall. If you love video games, you will love my book. If you know nothing about video games and want to get in the know, read my book. It's available wherever fine books are sold: Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, and of course my site, patrickhickeyjr.com. It's an awesome book. I had a ton of fun writing it. And simply put, if you want to get in the know and you want to find out stuff that's not even on Wikipedia, check it out. You won't regret it.
Hi, Jay.
Mario Claudio.
Hi, how are you?
If I'm on the line, you're on the air.
Oh, that's pleasant. Hello, everybody.
Well, you're pre-recorded, but that's beside the point. Here we are at the Passion Pit. At last, I got you on the Passion Pit. And considering we know each other like 10 years, it's about time. Now, the big thing we're talking about now is Reverend Mary and the fact that you're part of the all-man band for the Reefer Review. Yeah. How's it going, man? How's the show going?
The show's going well. We're having fun. It's always interesting to be a part of this this group and the new songs that we find and we collaborate on.
Now I'm saying Reefer Review, so it's kind of obvious. The show is tributing marijuana, but in the time that it was semi-legal, we're talking about like 1910 to about 1930 or 40 or something, it was considered not a crime. Tell us about the songs within it. Now, when someone hears marijuana, what are we going to expect from the music?
Well, from the music, you're mostly going to be hearing majority of the songs are like people being relaxed and having fun and being mellow and how it releases the stress of their day. So it's funny how it was legalized during the time of Prohibition, but as soon as Prohibition has ended, they started cracking down on, you know, public use of marijuana. And then eventually got towards the point where you couldn't use it at all. It became like a class one felony. Narcotic.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So it's like when Prohibition was up, then marijuana was just fine. But then the moment people can make a dollar on booze, they get rid of the other substance. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now we're saying marijuana, and we all know it as pot and weed. But the story behind Granny's Bloomers shows, just as you did sexy shows last time, where we had all sorts of cute ways of talking about sex. What are some of the names that they call in marijuana back then? Some of them we still use today, but what's the lyrics like?
So one of them is, if you're a viper, which is basically someone who smokes weed, and you know how a viper makes a hissing sound? Is just someone doing that hissing sound when they're smoking weed? Like that sound is a viper.
Yeah. And then, oh, that's great.
Yeah. let's see. There's also the T-Man is the G-Man took the T-Man, which basically means like the government man or the police. So arrested the person that would supply them with marijuana, the T-Man. because it used to be called tea as well. And they would have things like tea houses and stuff like that where people would sit down and smoke marijuana.
So you could be smoking tea, you could be going to a tea house, mm-hmm. and the tea man brought you your marijuana because it's all leaves. Okay, that's clever. What else we got? Yeah. I know Cab Calloway and Louis Armstrong had some cool words for it.
Well, there was reefer, there was, I'm trying to think of all the lyrics right now.
My favorite is jazz, jive, gauge.
Oh, yeah, jive and gauge. Very interesting words for it to be gauge. And jive, what's funny is that it was considered the term jive is supposed to be like a popular phrase. So marijuana was very popular, so they called it jive.
It's also, we say jive talking. So it's sort of like, because marijuana makes you speak a certain way, that you can talk marijuana and smoke marijuana. So jive seems to have many meanings right there.
Yes, it does.
Now, now you guys put together this show, just as it was with the sexy shows. Some of these songs have never been recorded or never been recorded properly, so there's nothing beyond a scratchy record or a couple of chords on a piece of paper somewhere or just plain lyrics. How was it to put the show together? How was it to create the harmonies, to create the actual songs, if you will?
Well, it's a lot of research just to find the actual old recordings. There are some compilations that they've made, I guess, recently they had it on CD, old recordings of these reefer songs or these marijuana songs, but no one's actually recorded them since. So with us, we have to listen to these old songs, figure out what key we're playing in, what style it is, and how to harmonize on just the basic, the tone and melody of the song. And that goes to everybody in the group. We work together as a team with Dan, George, Mary, and I. We all work together as far as hashing out those harmonies. You know?
Wow. So this is really an organic piece. You guys are literally creating this score as you're going along. This is not just, okay, here's the song book. I'm going to sing these songs my way. It's you're creating, you know, the live renderings of these songs.
Yeah, it's also not only are we creating, but also we're trying to be very respectful too, to keep the tone of the songs of the period of the time period of the piece as well.
Wow, that's now when you say respectful, you guys, I know from the other shows, you guys mentioned those who wrote the songs or who sang the songs. I know Reverend Mary, in a lot of cases, actually mentions the name of the composers and the performers. Some of these people are like, we've never even heard of them. So it's like, not only when you say respectful, so you guys are like, are celebrating those that created it when they never had credit before. I think that's terrific.
Yeah. It always feels like, it's after the fact that, you know, posthumously, these songs come out and you get to hear these people and you get to wonder where these people were. And then sometimes you hear they've had very hard lives after Prohibition was rescinded and they couldn't change with the times as far as music styling because of how they were stuck in such a niche. And it was horrible. Some people died homeless. They never got the recognition when they were alive.
So you're giving them...
Like making.
Mm-hmm. You're giving them like this little moment. In some cases, it's the only moment they had regarding this.
Yeah.
Wow. I give you guys a lot of credit for that because it's very easy to just say, okay, here's a song. It's another thing to celebrate the composer with it. It also, you're somewhat epitomizing the particular industry. A lot of these singers that you have are women. And mm-hmm. women got so little respect in terms of their performances. And I know from the other granny shows, there are performers that just never got the spotlight. So you gave them that, which is really terrific. Now you've mentioned George, you've mentioned Dan, you mentioned Mario. How is it to work with all these guys? You've worked actually with all of them, many times before, especially in mm-hmm. the Granny's Bloomers. How is it to work with these guys?
It's always relaxing, when we're together. It's, business as usual, but it's not stressful. There is no stress whatsoever. We're all there. We all know that it's to have fun. And that's the first thing you got to realize. These songs were sung because people were having fun. And if we keep that energy when we're creating the harmonies and we're nailing down the melody, it will transmit, it will translate to the audience that the essence of it.
That's great. That's great. So we're seeing the fun. You know, we're having fun with the show because you started by having fun at rehearsal. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of rehearsal, you have worked with Granny's Bloomers since its inception, and you've mm-hmm. worked with Reverend Mary. Oh my gosh. Is it 10 years? Is it 10 years that you've been working with Mary?
Just about. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, I spoke to George and one point he made the comment. He says, "Oh, Mario and Mary, they have amazing voices." How is it to work with Mary? How has it been this last decade to work with Reverend Mary?
It's always a learning experience. And I mean that as, I honestly would never know anything about these type of songs and stuff like that if Reverend Mary wasn't there to lead the way and to you know, put a light on it. Otherwise, I would have been completely ignorant to these artists, and they wouldn't get the recognition they deserve. And it's mostly because of, you know, Reverend Mary is kind of like the historian of the group, mm-hmm. as well as like the leading voice. So it's always a pleasure, and it's always a learning experience when I work with Mary.
How about working with her outside of that? I know you did a lot of musical work with her at different mm-hmm. events, not only just the Granny shows. I know you performed mm-hmm. outdoors with her a couple of times. You were in a lot of the shows with her. And you're also her student. You're also her mm-hmm. vocal student and have been for many, many years. How's that going? How's everything on that end of your relationship?
It's brilliant. I would say that she's very gracious. She's very knowledgeable, and she's such a comfort to work with. There's never been a moment where I felt like I was being led on or anything like that. It's always been very, very freeing, liberating experience. So even when we were doing shows in the park, like the karaoke performance we did in the park, we have such a good rapport with each other because we trust each other and there's an honesty with each other.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Okay. So let's talk you now. In 10 years, you've gone from this guy taking voice lessons to a major player in the indie theater scene. You have been part of Equity shows. You have been part of workshops or productions going to other places. You have been part of several theatrical companies. How's the Mario Claudio career going?
It's going well. I mean, when it rains, it pours, and I hope I never get a drought. it's always been very steady, the work. And even when I feel like, okay, this one project is ending, what am I going to do next? It's by some miracle divine essence, I always get a call from somebody, "Hey, we need someone for this. Are you available?" Like, absolutely, I'm available. So it's always been a very steady roller coaster, but not too many severe dips.
Gotcha. Tell me about some of the shows and some of the companies you've worked with, because you've worked with like some really up and coming, some really well known. You even gotten a chance to play Frederick Douglass very recently.
Oh yes, I did. I played. It was a one night performance, like a stage reading for Common Ground, and I played Frederick Douglass, and it was written by Granville Burgess, and it was a blessing, and also it felt very sad at the same moment because it was a one night thing. And the cast and I, we dedicated like strictly almost about 12 days in a 2-week period, 12 days of 10 to 5 rehearsals. Whew. To get the show going in such a small time frame. And to have it just be one night kind of felt bittersweet, you know?
Gotcha.
But it was a great experience. Like I said, it's always a learning experience when you do pieces that are not familiar to you. There's a lot of history I learned between, you know, Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass from that piece. And I felt blessed to be a part of it. And even now, I still keep in contact with the cast and with the director just to see. It's all about keeping relationships. If you start building them, then you can always rely on someone that you know has a good work ethic.
Very cool. That's the whole point of this thing. So what's next for you? You're part of Reverend Mary. Okay, we're going to be seeing you in all these things. Other than that, where else are we going to see Mario?
Well, at the moment, I'll be doing a cast recording with one of the cast members from Common Ground. He asked if I can join him and this other cast that he was working on for a cast recording. So that's my next project that I'm working on for the month of April.
So you're recording a cast album. You're going to be on a cast album.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So cool. What show?
It is called, hold on 1 second, I have it written down. I will find it for you. And that is called Harpies for the Dead.
Oh, my.
I know. It sounds a bit macabre. That's the only thing I know is just the title. But it sounds like banshees or something like that, of that nature, who are calling for the dead, just by the name of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a horror movie lover, so anything that sounds macabre like that, my ears prick up. That's great. Mm-hmm. So you're on a cast album. You were part of an original musical at the American Theater of Actors not long ago, Fort Dix.
Fort Dix. Yes,
mm-hmm. And you have been in all of Reverend Mary's productions since way back when.
Yes. A few of the productions with Regeneration Theater as well.
Uh huh.
With So doing quite a few shows with them. They like to take pieces that haven't been done in quite a while since they first been produced, like from the 1960s, 1970s, and to bring them back up and refresh them. The last one we did was, the name escapes me.
As is?
It happens when it was such a turnaround with shows, the name sometimes escapes. As is, yes, that's what it was, As Is. Yes, about the HIV/AIDS crisis of 1980s.
I remember that was one of the first plays produced professionally on AIDS. That and Normal Heart were like the two groundbreakers at the time.
Yes.
So you're doing a lot of you're doing a lot of older work. Which do you prefer? Do you like doing works of way back when? Do you think that's your niche, or are you looking at other things?
I do like to do those works because it's just revitalizing it. You know, it's not a one and done type thing. That's the thing for me, is that I don't like one and done. Especially if it's something that's very important and can still be relatable to nowadays. So that's one of the things I like about the Regeneration Theater, is that they bring pieces that are relatable still. But as far as new pieces like this, Heartbeats for the Dead, or when I did Fort Dix, or when I was even in the UVX for Home A, I was in the film and in the theater production. That's all new stuff. It's new avant-garde and homage to classic Broadway type stuff. So I consider myself the full gambit when it comes to times.
So you're just the guy to be in Reverend Mary's show, because you enjoy the old work, but you know how to put a cutting edge spin to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so cool, man. So cool. All righty. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to spread the word about Reverend Mary, and I'll make sure that you guys are that the broadcast with you and George go everywhere, so that everybody knows the brilliance that you two are bringing to this production. And I can't wait to be in the audience for that. I'll just say that I support legalization of marijuana, and so this show has extra special meaning to me. Mario, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you again.
Thank you. We'll keep singing until it's legal. That's our tagline.
What a brilliant slogan. I'll have to remember that. Thanks, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Ciao.
Take care.
Would you like more people to attend your show? At Applaud, we combine artificial intelligence and human intuition to expand your audience and increase ticket sales. For a limited time, we'll help you fill your seats free of charge to prove our value. That's right, we will promote your show at no cost if you begin right away. Sound good? For more information, email promote@applaud.com.
Hello.
George Dixon.
Yes, that's me.
This is Jay Michaels. If I'm on the line, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi.
There you go. Thought I'd scare you on this Friday morning.
No. I just don't, you know, I was like, okay, I didn't know I was going to be on the air right away.
Well, no, it's not right away. This is pre-recorded, but, you know, it's just to show you that here you are, put on your best show voice for us, which is a gorgeous show voice to begin with.
Thank you.
George, you've been in the biz for a long time doing this. You are an exquisite singer with a deep, wonderful voice, great stage presence, and now you're part of Reverend Mary's Wild and Woolly Bunch, showing us just how many times you could say weed in one sentence. How's it going? How is it to be part of Reverend Mary's Reefer Review?
It's wonderful. I'm learning a lot, certainly, because I have very limited experience with weed. So I had no idea that it had so many names, and of course the background and it from the 20s and 30s. I didn't know all that.
Right. The show extols the time when marijuana was semi-legal, and there were what they used to call tea rooms, because marijuana was called tea, and all the wild times the jazz musicians had with it. Tell me what it's like for these songs. Tell me your creative process in terms of putting together the material that you're doing.
For the show? Mary's show?
Yeah.
I am trying to create a kind of a character, because the two songs that Mary put in the show that she suggested are different. One is a little bit more upfront, and one is like laid back and easygoing. So I'm in my process. I am thinking, okay, I want to present this a certain way. You know, give me champagne and reefer and a woman to relax with. And the other song is more like, people say I'm crazy. I'm just in the backyard smoking weed. So I'm in my mind, because that's what I do for my shows. I try to imagine something and do a parody of it.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So you're creating this nice hedonistic guy who loves his champagne, his fine food, his fine women and his fine reefer.
Yes.
That's very cool. That's very cool. So you're taking it from the celebratory angle. You're letting us see the joy that all of this can provide, which is great, because we're inundated with imagery on how it's not good. So it's wonderful to sing about how it's good.
Yeah, because that song has more. It's more a little bit more outspoken than the other song. It's like, well, it should be legal. People should be able to smoke dope. That's what the words are in the song. So it's a little bit more upfront.
That's cool, and it's sort of making a statement, because today we're on the precipice of it becoming legal to begin with. So So this song is very forward thinking. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. How is it to work with Dan Furman and Mario Claudio and Reverend Mary herself? How's your relationship? How's coming together with those three wackos?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Each has their own personality. I find that Dan his piano playing suits what we're doing. So it's not like we're struggling to find I think something that works. He just kind of just he knows what to do, and I like his playing. And of course, I love Mary's voice. She's a great singer, belter, and she, you know, of course, we did this, the other set that we did with the songs about sex, and now we're doing songs about weed. So I like working with, I like her voice, and Mario is great because I find when you're doing background, it's got to be a blend. It's very important. And he blends with my voice. He blends with Mary's voice. I've heard them. I'm like, wow. It's a great group. And it's important. It's a great group.
I noticed because you and Mario are almost a team in this. And I noticed the connection you two had, which was marvelous. It
oh, good.
It literally supported the sound. You know, sometimes you hear two singers singing and it's two singers singing. But But here I really got the sense that there was a team within you. So that's really great.
That's important because we're supporting Mary and what she's doing, and in addition to doing our own thing. And that's very important because there's a member of the Sweet Inspirations. I don't know if anybody knows them. They used to back Elvis. And one of the members said, I know a lot of singers that can sing, but not too many can blend.
Oh, nicely put.
Absolutely. She put it very, 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 very exquisitely.
Now, maybe you don't have a lot to deal with in terms of marijuana, but I do know that you've been around a while in terms of the music industry. Tell us about George Dixon, the singer.
Well, when I started, I was pretty green, you know, and I started a little late in life. I didn't sing when I was 7, 8, 9, 10. So I struggled, I will admit, I struggled at the beginning of it, and I had to go through my own little process to get comfortable and to find what worked. You know, I'm not a pop singer, and I started, I was doing some Luther songs. I was like, oh, no, this is not going to work. And I found that jazz standards worked for me, and gradually I put a blues song in there. That's how I discovered blues. I didn't know what blues was. I didn't know anything about a 1-4-5 progression because I didn't have that kind of experience. And my piano player at the time said to me, oh, don't worry about it. I don't even need any music. It's a 1-4-5. I'm like, what is that? And then once I started doing the songs, I realized what a 1-4-5 was. It's a line, repeat a line, and then an answer to that line. And then I put a calypso song in there. And so I'm trying to put my set together. If anyone were to come to my shows and see that, you know, I'm doing a jazz standard, I'm doing a blues song and a calypso song. So I'll sing anything as long as I am comfortable with it.
So you started this out of pure passion. It's not like you went to music school. It's not like you stood at the piano, like you say, when you're 7 years old. This is a passion that was within you, and you just dove right into it.
Yeah, I guess you could say put it that way. I started out by taking voice lessons. That's how it all started. I always wanted to sing, and I guess I was talking about it at work, and this guy heard me, and he said, you know, I'm taking a dance class, and there's a guy in there that teaches voice. I'll get his number for you, and you can call him. And so that's how that started. And
so you were taking a dance class, and somebody just said, you know, I got this voice teacher.
No, I wasn't taking a dance class. I was at work, and the guy at work was in a dance class.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Just to clear that up. And so it was a dance class, but the person in the dance class was a voice teacher.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so he gave me his number, and I went over there, and I had to work from the ground up, as they say. I didn't know anything about phrasing or timing.
Now you met him. At work, and work for you at that point was on Wall Street. Yes.
Yes, I was working at the New York Stock Exchange on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. You can imagine.
Oh,
crazy down there.
God, I was wondering why you're so calm. Of course, once you live through that, oh, my God.
No one has ever put it like that before. They usually say, oh, how did you last down there? You're not, you know. And I really wasn't the type of person that I was. It was rough at times because those guys – they are very, very, very boisterous and, you know, raucous, as you say.
It's a piranha tank. Oh, my God. When you see it on TV, even, you know, when they're just showing footage, it's a piranha tank.
It is. But, see, I wasn't a part of the piranha. My job was merely to listen and record sales. I didn't have to trade. I didn't have to get into the... It's basically an auction down there.
Oh, yeah.
Auction. And so I didn't have to get in. I just had to record stuff. So I didn't have to talk. I didn't have to get into any of that.
But you,
so
had, to have an, you had to have an ear like a cat.
Yeah, you have to do... Yeah,
if someone said 50 shares of this, you could not make a mistake on that number.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
They would get mad. Yeah, they would get pissed off.
You know, I'm having the epiphany here. That's where a great deal of your ease now in stepping into this untrained, if you will, because you trained your ears so tightly that you could hear. Of course, you're a marvelous singer. You could hear the subtle shades in a note because you had to hear numbers and fractions in between that pandemonium and Wall Street.
Absolutely. I didn't think of it that way, but now that you say it, yes, that's true.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And what it's done, it's made you relative in terms of calm. I lived through that. Okay, what? The trains are late? Okay, whatever. That's great. Now, you have a show that is running like tonight or tomorrow, something like that also?
I have a show tomorrow at the 31st at Parnell's, yes.
That's terrific. So you're juggling two shows at once right now. I guess the Wall Street training is helping on that too.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's
maybe
great.
What's helping is the set that I'm doing all the songs I know. I'm not learning any new songs. You know, so that helped a lot.
So we're getting the best of George with a calypso tune, with jazz, with blues. Yeah. You're giving us the greatest hits. So that's great. That's great. Yeah. Those are my favorite albums. That's wonderful. Okay, so now Weed opens up, I'm So High, Reverend Mary's Reefer Review opens up next week on April 6th. What happens after that for you? Okay, you do this wild show, you have a hangover, you get up the morning of the 7th. What's next for you?
Well, I do want to do a show, my hour show with my full band. I'm very partial to piano, bass, and drums. I have a three-piece combo.
That's great.
And tomorrow I'm only doing it with my piano player, Lee Tumbulian, who's great. And so that's the next thing. I don't know when it'll be. It depends on there's a lot of things going on right now, personally and also musically and financially. So they sort of have to come together at a meeting in my life, and I'll see. But I need to be on the stage. I really do.
Good for you.
To perform, you know, because I love it, as we talked about it before.
So you
love music.
That's
go ahead.
So you're stepping off of Reverend Mary's stage, and you're going to go right into the studio and start working with your gang and building up the money and the time needed to get your own hour-long solo show going.
Well, I'm going to take a little rest for a couple of months, and then I'll see how things go. But in the meantime, what I will be doing is I do a lot of open mics.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah, like for comedians, you go out there and you test things out, and you keep that engine going, because if I stop, I'll forget lyrics, and I don't want to do that. So I have to keep doing that. That won't stop. That'll keep going.
That's great.
And then from there, I make my plans as to, okay, what do I want to do next?
That is great. That's great. So now my last question. I know you appeared in Reverend Mary's, her sex show. She had three different sex shows running. And when I say sex shows, I know what that sounds like. It was shows that had salacious lyrics in them. To escape the censors who didn't want dirty lyrics, so they created fancy words. Yeah. Now, you weren't necessarily part of that. There was like a volunteer section of those shows, and you just stepped right into them. Is that true?
I'm not sure I understand.
Like you said about open mics. Because I know you basically, Mary invited people up during those shows.
Right.
And you started as being one of those people invited up, yes?
Oh, how it started.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's what happened. I came to her to Mary's show, and she invited me on the stage, and I did a song. And then next thing I know, I was on the stage helping with background.
And then next thing you know, there you are. You're on the postcard, and you're a featured member of the group.
And then she said, "Well, do you want to join us? You want to come out with us and have some fun?" And I said, "Yes, I'll do it."
So you're a real success story. You're talking about your open mic. So you, in essence, went to Reverend Mary's open mic, and it led to a gig. It led to what's now going to be a year long gig. That is great. That's your sex story. This is a sex story right there. Success. You can't say sex and success in the same sentence. It's just a misery.
Oh, yeah.
But you're the success story here because you went to your open mics and it really paid off. So you're definitely the poster child for open mics. Can't wait to hear you and see you in I'm So High, Reverend Mary's Reefer Review.
Wonderful.
When I heard you at that last rehearsal, I was like, wow, can't wait when the lights are hitting you and everything is together. So that's going to be absolutely marvelous. I wish you all the luck with everything in terms of your musical career.
Thank you.
Has been marvelous speaking to you, and I can't wait till we share a reefer at Pangea next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you, George. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, Jay. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, guys. That was terrific. Can't wait for the show. Passion Pit wants to promote the indie arts in every way possible. We are offering 30-second radio commercial spots on the show for as little as $30. Just remember, 30 for 30. Now, for a while, we're going to get serious. In future broadcasts, we'll be speaking to Deborah Cook about Jilted to Perfection, her musical love letter to her late husband, Alison Wick about her new production of Arthur Miller's The Crucible, Barnaby Edwards about his unearthing of a yet unproduced in New York Arthur Miller play called The Bishop's Ceiling. Wow, two Arthur Millers. It's Miller time. Yeah, I had to say it. I know, you're all groaning. Pause for groan. We will also be interviewing Jake Lippman about her new play, Recent Tragic Events. We'll be talking to the team behind the millennial drama, The Floor is Lava, at the legendary La Mama Theater, Lava at La Mama. We'll also be speaking to Granville Burgess about his journey for his musical, Common Ground, which had workshops and stage readings in New York, and now is looking to go further. And we'll be speaking to our old buddy, Anthony Piccioni, when he returns to tell us about his play, A Therapy Session with Myself, which is now, are you ready? Wait for it. Going open and run. That and so much more. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you soon.